Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Barbecue Shop Talk.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Barbecue Shop Talk. We're coming to you live from Palm Key Resort. Tim Hanney's been teaching the class all week, and they pretty much wrapped it up all tonight with a pig picking, all sides, and some good banana pudding. Everybody's laying around a little lazy tonight. We've got some great guests coming to you tonight. Jeff Johnson's helped with class. He's going to be in our second half of our half hour. And then the first half, we've got Jan Schatz here, and she's with Lifetide. And she's one of Tim's friends here. She actually lives here part of the year. And we're excited to bring her home. And Tim, you want to tell us a little bit about the class this week?
Yes, sure do. It's been an exciting week. And you can also check out information on our classes at barbecueshoptalk.com. You can also post any questions you want to on our Facebook page. And if you've been following along, you see that we've had a sold-out advanced barbecue class this past week, and it was a complete success. We've had folks driving in from Ohio, from Connecticut, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Florida, and it's been an action-packed week, I tell you. We've cooked some food this week. If you are a barbecue lover or a foodie at heart, you've got to check these classes out. And tonight we're going to talk with the director of the director of the barbecue program for the Lifetide Institute. This is Jan Schatz. Jan, are you with us?
Hey, here's Jan right now.
Hey, Jeff.
Well, hey, Jan, thanks for joining us tonight. Well, I want to start off by introducing you, letting our viewers know that Jan and I have been friends for many years, and she's been instrumental in creating this unbelievable barbecue program out of the Palm Key Resort down here in Ridgeland, South Carolina. And it's a week-long program. We've got some classes through Elder Hostel, and we have some independent classes through Lifetide's Institute. For our listeners who don't know about Lifetide's Institute, Jan, why don't you give us a little bit of background on the Institute and kind of what you guys do with the property out here, and I understand you do some stuff with the environment and some sustainable activities. So let us know what Lifetide's is all about.
The Lifetide is we're committed to the conservation, education, and exploration through our different workshops that we hold out here. We're able to help serve our mission to promote the conservation and preservation of the Lowcountry region and its natural, historical, and cultural resources. Lifetide Institute creates many programs that couple this mission with the needs and interests of our own community. When we do the programs that you help me with, the extra cash flow that comes from those, it gives us the opportunity to help educate those folks in our area, that the region that they need to be educated in the environmental links that they're not so, I guess, familiar with. So we have great fun when we do that, and we have an awesome place to hold all of our venues out here at Palm Key because it's more like a wellness-minded community, so you can come out and relax and rest and rejuvenate yourself, and you don't have to really worry about being plugged in terms of cell phones and TVs because there are none out here. You don't have any landlines, and sometimes you can get a signal, sometimes you can't, as we all know, on the cell phone. So it's a very soothing, and we just like to say that it's a wellness-minded community because it helps you get well sometimes. A lot of our programs are designed to offer people an opportunity to get up close and personal with one of the most intricate and diverse ecosystems in the region. Through our programs, you can learn both about wildlife and how it interacts in the salt marsh environment and how important it is to the environment.
Yeah, folks, I'm telling you, if you haven't had a chance to check out Palm Key Resort and what Lifetide Institute does out here, you really need to take the time to do it, especially if you're interested in barbecue, because we hold barbecue classes out in this pristine environment. Spanish moss is draping from the trees. Everything is on the tidal marsh. You watch the tide come in, the tide go out, and it's a week of nothing but barbecue. There's no telephones. There's no TVs. And at the end of the class, I can guarantee you, you're going to be too tired and too full to even go back and want to watch the TV. You're sleeping because we're getting up early in the morning. We're putting hogs on, and I tell you, it's been a great week. Jan, how can folks who are interested in maybe coming out for one of your barbecue trips out here at Life Tides get in touch with you or maybe find out more information on the class? I know they can go to our website at barbecueshoptalk.com and check it out, but is there some contact information for you?
Yes. They can go, they can like us on Facebook through Life Tides Institute's Facebook, and they'll be have access to the information, or they can go info@lifetides.org, and that has all of our classes there. But most of the information that's the most handy and easier to decipher would be on the Facebook, our Facebook page.
And if our listeners out there are interested in attending one of the basic barbecue classes that are done through Elder Hostel, kind of give them a run-through of what goes on with the class. I know I talk about it a lot, but maybe a fresh perspective would do good. Tell them a little bit about what they can expect, kind of you know, a little bit about the schedule maybe and kind of how the week unfolds for them.
Everybody arrives on Sunday afternoon around 4 o'clock. They check in. They sign a few waivers of liability, of course, like any other resort. And then we actually take photos of everybody because people forget names and things, and then we put them up on the board. So when they come back to breakfast every morning at the breakfast area, they can, you know, if somebody's talking like, God, I remember the guy with the green nose, you know, no, not really. But they go, we don't remember his name. So you can go back to breakfast the next day and just kind of look at their picture, and we put the name below it. So we get everybody to get really friendly right at the get-go. We do mix our kayaking programs with the barbecue programs, and a lot of the people now look out, you know, the kayakers will sign up for a program and they'll only do it if they know that JT's going to be there to do the barbecue because they really like everything about how we marry the two programs together. But for the rest of the week, pretty much it's barbecues and gig, and the kayakers kind of split and go, do their separate ways and do their different things. And as you know, we're all cooking for them and they come back and they get to enjoy the fruits of our labor. But they stay for 5 nights in our beautiful cottages. They have all the comforts of home, washer, dryer. They can do their laundry if you're a messy barbecuer and you need to get some sauce off. And we have porch swings and just beautiful things that they can sit on. If they've had too much to eat, they can come back and swing away and burn up some calories by going back and forth. And for the most part, everybody just comes to have fun, whether you're a kayaker or a barbecuer. As you always say, JT, have fun, safety first, fun, fun, fun. And that's what everybody can expect, and that's what they do get when they come for your program. That's why we like you.
Well, thank you. You're too kind. I always make the case when I'm teaching barbecue, it's not very hard to do, but when you do it right, everyone's like, oh, it's the best thing in the entire world. And then it's like, well, I'm really just putting it on the pit. So, you know, I tell you, it's the people that you cook with that make all the events worthwhile. And I've been out here for almost 7-8 years now, and I can't think of a class that hasn't just been a ball. I mean, everyone's been so eager to learn, and everyone has been so kind in the questions. And anytime you get a barbecue pit going, it's impossible to frown. It's impossible.
Absolutely.
It's a week of smiles. Yeah, it is. Now, there's some other stuff to do out here, I understand, during our basic barbecue classes. There's some great evening activities as well. Why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the folks that you have coming in for some specialized activities in the evening?
What we like to do is have a couple of special events. We have Kim Poovy, who's a storyteller, and she comes out and she dresses in the period of which she's telling the story. She's written some books, and so now she actually sells some of the books when she's out here. People just love her and actually follow her after they've met her at some of these classes. And then we have Michael Smalls, who's one of the last few true sweetgrass basket weavers. And he's a big, tall drink of water. The guy is amazingly, I think he's like 7 foot tall something, and he's got these huge hands. How he gets that little tiny pick in those little tiny sweetgrass things to make those beautiful baskets, I have no idea, but he just sits there and does it like it's, you know, nothing. But he tells a story about how his grandmother taught him, and like it's a dying art, and we all know that sweetgrass baskets are just something beautiful to look at and have on your counter, not necessarily even use, but just adore it. And then we have our last evening out here, we do the big send off with the fire pits, and we steam oysters, and everybody brings a musical interest if they have one, and they sit around the campfire like the old days, and then we do s'mores. And that's our usually our last night on Thursday that we do that. I think that's about it.
Yeah, well, that sounds great. That's an action-packed week. And folks, who are just tuning in, we're speaking with Jan Schatz of Life Ties Institute. She's talking about the two programs that they have going on out here that are barbecue-related. One is a basic barbecuers class. It's a week long through Utter Hostel. And then a newly added program, which is Advanced Barbecue out here. And it's a great program, so you need to check us out. If you have any information on the classes, you can log on to our website at barbecueshoptalk.com. And check on the classes. And if you want to check out our Facebook page, we also got information on that. Well, Jan, thank you so much for being with us tonight. It was great talking to you. I've had a wonderful week with you. I think we have three dates in October that are already set.
Yep.
So, folks, check your calendar, check our websites, get in touch with Jan, like Life Ties Institute on Facebook, and hopefully we'll see you out here in October. Jan, it's been great talking to you.
Thanks, JT. You have a great week. Bye.
You too. Yeah, folks, hey, if you get a chance.
Yeah,
is Jeff on the line already?
Not yet. This is Mark. I just once you finish up, tell a little bit more about the resort down here. I want to mention something about a gas and fun day we have coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to run through just a couple more points there. I understand that the South Carolina Barbecue Association and the Southern Barbecue Network have their judging classes on the 14th of July. So I hope we got some new judges out there listening to us tonight. And I want to congratulate everyone who's went through that class and had a great time, and looking forward to seeing you guys on the competition circuit. So looking forward to it. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, I think they had a great class in Columbia last week. I talked to Maury Thomas, which was on our show a couple weeks back. They conducted training at SCBA downtown, and, you know, the event we have coming up at Sentence Inn, Smoke on the Water, Dupree Percival's putting on at Artisans 302. And it's coming up on September 21-22. I know you're cooking in it. Our team's cooking in it. And we actually have four of the top 10 current teams in the state. We have some guys coming in from out of state. We're holding it to 20 teams, and we're already at 19. We have a wing throwdowns featuring South Carolina specialty foods on a on Friday night. So we get to use all their jams, jellies, sauces, et cetera. It'll be a great time on Friday night. Encourage everybody to come by, come out to that. And then I want to mention something where Pastor Larry Harrison is doing a Gaston Community Fun Day Festival, which is part of a organization that he is establishing right now. And it's a Block Parties for Christ. And what they do is have free fun days for the family. Everything is free. You come out, free entry, free games. They actually have a rolling rig this year that is a Roland video game rig, and it has all types of video games in it for the kids. They can walk through, have tractor pull, clowns, all kind of rides for the kids, bounce houses, different folks giving free stuff out the entire day. It goes from 11 to 4. Last time they had this 2 years ago, they had 5,000 people there within just literally a 5-6 hour window there. But again, I just want to reiterate to everybody that this is a free activity. Family, costs you nothing to get in. All the hot dogs, pizza, funnel cakes, nachos, everything you want is free. All the rides, snow cones, everything, drinks. There's also bake sales out there that are free as well. We're going to be out there cooking. One of the four teams that are featured out there. And all we're doing is cooking 1,600 hot dogs and doing nachos for everybody that comes by. So encourage you to come by and meet some of the vendors that support this. There's a list a half a mile long here, and we'll bring more to you about that maybe next week. Have Larry on. He's actually the pit master for Preacher Pit out of Gaston. So anyway, we're going to turn it back over to Tim and his next guest. Jeff is about to step up right now.
Yeah, I tell you, folks, that's a great event that's going on out there in Gaston. I really applaud them for doing that with the community. I mean, it's going to cost you nothing out of your pocket to come out there and have some great fellowship, some great food, shake some hands, meet some people, and it's going to be a great time for the families and all. And also the event at Sentence Inn, the third week of September. I'm excited that my schedule cleared up. So I hope there's some fear in the competitors out there, because JT's Barbecue will be there. And I'm going to have a special guest with me cooking that weekend also, a good friend of mine, Jeff Johnston out of St. Cloud, Florida. And Jeff's actually on the phone with us right now, I believe. Jeff, you there?
Hey, how you doing, Tim?
Good. I'm going to tell you, I'm excited to have you on board, being part of JT's Barbecue for that great event out there with Dupree's Catering and Sentence Inn, being judged by the South Carolina Barbecue Association in September. We're going to go out there Friday night and get paired up with someone from South Carolina Specialty Foods. I'm not sure what dish we're going to create yet, but we're going to do something magical, and then we're going to be cooking barbecue all night. I just hope they spell our name on that check right. Don't you, Jeff?
Hey, I'm looking forward to that. You bet.
Well, folks, if you don't know Jeff Johnson, let me tell you a little bit about Jeff. Jeff's probably one of the most modest guys you're ever going to meet, but he is, I tell you, there's things that I couldn't even do out here without Jeff behind the scenes. He's kind of been my right hand at a lot of events lately, and Jeff has just nosedived into barbecue. And for our listeners, I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about when you get bit by that barbecue bug, and I believe Jeff Johnson has, in fact, been bitten. Jeff's attended the basic barbecue class through Rhodes Scholar out here at Palm Key. He's also attended Myron Mixon's Jacksonville South competition class, and he's also a recent graduate of my advanced barbecue class, and he cooked a whole hog out here today and was awesome. And we also have steered Jeff towards a great cooker. He's picked up one of our Lang 84 Deluxe with char grill. So, Jeff, tell us a little bit about the recent schools you've been to, kind of what's led you to those schools, and then we'll talk a little bit about that big monster pit you got now.
Well, just talking to you and finding out about this event here has just been, it was a great event to take the basic barbecue class, because even for someone who's never had any experience at all, they can go in and get a hands-on experience with just the basic barbecue techniques, with big meats, with ribs, with chickens, and also all the sides. And JT will just walk you through each step and each technique so that you'll feel comfortable. And along with that, he'll teach you the history of barbecue, and also teach you some great techniques on some side dishes. And when we took the basic barbecue class, Tim was cooking on a Lang 84, and it was just a wonderful cooker. And he let me man the grill a few times, and that bug went on into the Lang virus, so I got that too. And so I had to go out and get me a Lang 84, and I'm glad I did. It's just a wonderful cooker. And that reverse flow technique really makes the meat taste great. So this advanced class, it's just a step above. You're going to learn a lot of great side dishes, and you're also going to be able to do some Iron Chef competition. It's a lot of fun. It kind of gets stressful there towards the end. And, you know, it gives you a little good experience to what it's like to have a turn-in time and try to get everything right, and you're judged on the same type of conditions that you would be if you're at a barbecue contest. So, and then just to finish off the week to do a whole hog was a real treat, and everybody had a great time, and everybody had hands-on experience, and that's really what sets us apart from a lot of other classes and schools that offer barbecue classes. So I just thank you, JT. You were super, as you always are, and we all had a great time, and I'm looking forward to coming back.
Oh, absolutely, and you're welcome at my pit anytime, Jeff. I tell you, just one of these guys where you never have to tell him anything. It's like he's always a step ahead of you because he's really paying attention, and you can really see that he's got the knowledge, and then it's like the light went off, and he's got the understanding where it's like he can already anticipate what I'm going to need as far as the pit and everything else and the hog and injections and rubs and marinades, and he's right there doing a great job. Folks, if you hadn't had a chance to come out to our advanced class, I'll tell you, it really is one of these classes that's kind of unique in the way we do classes out here at Palm Key in conjunction with Life Tides Institute. Oftentimes you pay a fee and you'll have a 24-hour class or a 48-hour class that's usually steeped in competition, and it teaches you a lot about injections and rubs, but a lot of times those classes are kind of geared towards reality and what I call reality in barbecue. Because I know when you're cooking barbecue for your neighbors, friends, folks at church, you're not going to be shooting that full of MSG and all kind of different nitrates and nitrites and all these crazy injections, rubs, and marinades that they have. This class that we did this week, it kind of goes back to the true meaning of barbecue. And Jeff, I'm sure you'll agree, where we would take beef brisket and we kind of, you know, we're treating the beef with respect. We're not shooting it full of crazy stuff. We're using true barbecue techniques that have been proven over hundreds of years. We're slow smoking it over pecan wood, cherry this week. And then you also get the great side dishes that go along with it. And I know you've been to a few different classes, but it's a privilege to teach these folks, because anybody who signs up for a week
of barbecue classes. They've cleared their schedules. They've arranged for pets and kennels and wives and kids at home, and even some of the wives have come out to the class. I tell you, some of these girls outdo the guys in barbecue. We had some unbelievable pinto beans that were done baked bean style this week that were just awesome, you know. But when you have that kind of audience for a week, it's they're true to the barbecue. They're true to learning, and it's easy to teach them because they're so eager, just like yourself, to just soak it up. And I hope that you will always compete with me and never compete against me, because I hate when the students beat the old lions. And so I don't want to. I'm going to have to keep you close to the hip. I can already tell.
Hey, I'm right with you, my brother. Don't you ever worry about that.
Well, Jeff, good talking to you. We're talking to Jeff Johnson out of St. Cloud, Florida, the new owner of a Lang 84 Deluxe Char Grill and a recent attendee to the JT's Barbecue and Lifetime Institute's Advanced Barbecue class. It was great having you in class, Jeff. I look forward to cooking with you up there on Senate's Inn in September.
I'm looking forward to it, JT, and just thank you again for everything and all your helpful hints and techniques that you showed me that's going to make me a better cooker.
Oh, man, you're absolutely welcome. So glad to help you and to see you cooking on that Lang. So looking forward to it. Folks, if you got any questions during the show, you can always get us at barbecueshoptalk.com, or you can post some questions on our Facebook, and we'd be glad to make those part of the show. So we'll send it back up to Mark.
Hey, Dan, that was a great interview there. I know the location down here is just phenomenal. I'm sitting out here enjoying what I see out here, the marshes and tide coming in and all the moss and everything. Is just a beautiful facility out here. I encourage anybody to come down. And we wanted to mention something to a friend of ours, especially since we're actually talking about barbecue classes tonight. Garland Hudgens, that owns Carolina Outdoor Cooking School, is going to have a class coming up starting August 18th. It's an all-day class, competition barbecue class. Will be held at the South Carolina State Farmers Market in the demo kitchen. And we've done a number of demos out there. I know you and I are putting some together for some barbecue shop talk classes up there, but Garland has actually got his class going on. I believe Brian Teague's involved with it, Jeff and Larry with Smoke and Stacks, and they'll have some backwoods cookers out there as well. I'm going to bring my Alvaron over and one of our backwoods and just have them out there for a show. We'll be out there with our sauces and rubs, a smoking coals sauce, smoking coals rub, and the Buzz's butt dust rub as well. And we encourage you to go out, contact them if you're interested in that class. It will be held in Columbia. It's a one-day class on a Saturday. And market out there is just second to none with their demonstration facilities out there. I think it's a 9-foot screen and a full kitchen and a restaurant next door. You can go around and buy all the produce you want from the different vendors out there and everything. It's just a great facility. And, Tim, I know you cooked there recently for a judges class.
Yeah, I have. I tell you, it's a state-of-the-art facility. It's awesome. That's a great place to have a barbecue class for sure. And, folks, if you're interested in competition barbecue and finding out the secrets of these guys who are winning all the time, you couldn't do better than going with Garland Hudgens, going with Brian Teague up in Smoke, and also Jeff and the guys over at Smoke and Stacks. I mean, come on. You know, you attend that class, and you're going to be a champion within a short amount of time. I can guarantee you that.
Well, we got a caller, folks,
803-699. Is that you, Garland? You calling in about your class already, huh?
Oh, yeah. You know, I heard you guys.
Yep. We're excited to have you call in, as always, one of our tech guys here and one of the best cooks I know in the state. And he also does a great class. We've been honored to be just a little help here or there. And I take our sauces rubs up there and teaches a great class. So, Garland, just go ahead and tell us a little more information about the class, anything I may have missed, and how to get in touch with you.
Well, first thing, thanks for having us on. We are having a class at the Farmers Market here in West Columbia, and it is at the Exhibition Kitchen, which is a great venue. They set us up with all sorts of type of media presentations and sound equipment and stuff, and outside cooking area and stuff, and we're really excited about putting it on. It's August 18th, from 9 till 4 in the afternoon, and basically what you do is you lease us for that day, and you're going to have all our secrets, all we can lay on the table. You ask us a question, we're going to answer it. It's one of them deals where we're going to cook. We're going to cook and present all four products of the barbecue meat that you see on the barbecue circuit, which is pulled pork, smoked chicken, pork ribs, and beef brisket. And we're going to put that out on the table from the time that we go to the supermarket or wherever we go to choose our product, show you what we're looking for, break it open out of the package, show you how we prep it, how we season it, how we inject it, all that kind of stuff, and get it on the cooker. And from then on, when we get it off the cooker, show you how we look for what we're looking for, what we do to put it in a box to present it to the judges. And so it's from the raw product all the way to the judges' presentation.
Absolutely. And I know you normally serve a meal there, and we were privileged to be able to have part of that meal last time around before we had to leave for the day, and it was incredible food as always. And, you know, when the girl says they really don't hold back, I'm going to tell you, we sat in the class. Garland over the years have taught me and my oldest son that run our team a lot and learned a lot from them. But even going, sitting in that class, a part of it, there was some stuff about brisket I learned just in a few minutes' time there that I was not aware of. So even though we've been cooking for a number of years here, and encourage you to go to that class, I want to be able to have the opportunity to sit through it all one time myself, because I'm sure there's a lot more I would learn from it. So anybody out there listening, I would encourage you to get in touch with Garland and get signed up for this class. And Garland, you want to give us a phone number, website, anything, just to make sure everybody gets it before we sign off tonight?
I'd love to. Please go to www.carolinaoutdoorcooking.com and go to our schedule page, and there will be a flyer there that you can click on and download to your email or whatever. And you can fill that flyer out, and all the information is there that you need to register. And or you can call me at area code 803-360-4700. Again, that's 803-360-4700. Love to answer any questions that you have. And to add on to a point, we'd love to have JT come up and make a guest appearance.
You know, I think you're going to have to email me that date, because I can use a few of your secrets there. I've been tired of getting finishing behind you with these contests. So I think I'm going to have to come up there and bring my Lang 84 and lots of folks tour around that, and I'll be glad to be part of it. And folks, if you had not taken a competition class and you're really into barbecue competitions, the experience you're going to get from the class is going to take a year off doing it on your own. You know, stop with the sauces, stop with the rubs and all the crazy concoctions in the kitchen and trying to hit this and making all these changes at a competition. Take the time to go to the class. Go to Garland's class, talk with Brian T., talk with Jeff and those guys. They're going to set you straight and give you some information, and it's going to take a year off the learning curve. And then you're going to start producing, and then before you know it, you're going to start buying bigger and better equipment. You're not going to see your kids and your dog and the stuff, because you'll be competing every weekend. And it's going to, and then all of a sudden you're going to say, wow, where did the time go? And you're standing with a world champion trophy. So definitely check out their website, check out their classes. You will not be disappointed. Garland, I accept your invitation, and I'll certainly be out there to give you guys a hand.
Oh, we'd love to have you, JT.
Sounds good, buddy.
Garland, always good to hear from you. Have a good night. And everyone, I think Daryl's going to push us out of here with some bluegrass music right now. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Hey, this is Jamie from Finger Licking Tailgate and Crew, live from my first radio show brought to you by Barbecue Superstars. We're on live for the first time. We're going to talk about some tailgating, barbecuing, and football. We've got several special guests going to come in to us today, tonight, and we're going to talk about some tailgating. Just to give you a little bit about Finger Licking Tailgating, we started out probably about 8 years ago, and we got several people that tailgate with us, and we think we're one of the best tailgating crews down here in the Southeast. We invite everybody to come out and join in on our tailgate. We're on Bluff Road at Southern Equipment, right down from the football stadium. Anybody wants to stop by, check us out, have a good time, socialize, come on out and join us. First thing we want to get on with tonight, we're looking at starting up a tailgating sanctioning body for tailgating competitions, kind of sort of like the KCBS does with their barbecue competitions. And anybody that got any opinions or anything, want to get on board with that, we would love to hear from you, talk to you about it. And we're really pushing to get this thing going and having it full steam ahead coming next year. Anybody wants to join in, we're going to have some meetings and get things set up and get that going. Hopefully here in the next month we're gonna have more details on what's gonna go on with the tailgating event. You got any suggestions or questions, you can hit us up on our Facebook page, Finger Licking Tailgating, and we'd love to talk to you about it. Darryl, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, boy.
You wanna talk a little bit about the Barbecue Superstars National Tailgating League?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the biggest thing we've ever done so far, and I want everybody to know the Barbecue Superstars totally committed to bringing this league around to be. I think that this league should have been started probably 10 or 15 years ago, and just needs somebody that's a steady hand to come in and try to set up a national tailgating league, tailgating competition like you've never seen it before. And once we get organized with it, Jamie, the big thing that's going to happen is the products will get better, the organization of tailgating will get better as far as like people pulling in, setting up, which I know you got yours set up to the Mac Daddy, but you know there's a lot of people who they haven't really got a system of going in, setting up, getting themselves together, and Barbecue Superstars wants to spearhead that with you, Jamie, and Chris Fulmer from Ultimate Tailgating and Jack's Tailgater. Chris Fulmer's got 20 years experience in tailgating. And we've got Mark Busby. He's on the board. He's a big-time organizer for barbecue contests. And so we've got four people. If you go to Barbecue Superstars and look up to the left there, we've got Barbecue Superstars National Tailgating League. And we sort of got a general, this is what's going to happen kind of thing. There'll be two turn-ins of food, and there'll be competition on team spirit. You know, when somebody walks up to your site, I mean, have you got the number one team spirit site in the country? And then the second thing we check is food presentation. Tailgating is about food also. So you'll have how is your food presented. And then the last thing is one of three categories, and that's, you know, the best dressed at the competition can win you the 10 points, or you can put on a 2 or 3 minute show, or last of all, a game. You know, if you come out with a, oh, my God, tailgating game that's just off the chain, in that category, three different ways of winning 10 points. Now, each one of these divisions, each one of these five things you can win 10 points on. and we'll convert that to a maximum of a 500 score, and then the organizer of the event can give you an extra 50 points. So a possible 550 for each competition, and the top three scores that you have for each competition will be averaged, and that'll be your score for the ranking in the National Tailgating League ranking nationally. Now, we do invite international participation, and sanctioning one of their contests will cost a little more. But the first, 30 contests, I want to make sure I'm there and that we have representatives for Barbecue Superstars, because, Jamie, the way we want to work this out is we want to teach the people at the school to be the organizer, the judge, the presenter of the awards, but we want them to use the Barbecue Superstars National Tailgating System. And what we want Barbecue Superstars to do is provide the national ranking and the score for each event. And then we want to carry that across nationally. Now, it was suggested to me today that we go Division 2, Division 3, and I want to do NFL. I want to include the NFL, all 32 teams, have one competition a year. And then the way it's going to work, Jamie, is NFL, Division 1, 2, and 3, all of them scores will be averaged in together. We're not going to play favorites for the NFL or for Division 1 college. We're going to rank everybody evenly, and whoever wins, wins. And we'll have a team of the year. And then the team of the year will come from the year's points. Then we're going to have a world championship, and anybody who's won a contest is invited to the world championship, and the top 10 people other than the people who won. So, if you're in 15th place and the top 14 have won a championship, well, that's where it'll start, and the top 10 people, wherever they land up, that have not won a championship or the top 10 of the points, they'll get invitation, and then all those people will go to one location. We'll have the Barbecue Superstars National Tailgating League World Championship on site, and that person will be crowned, hopefully a grand prize of $25,000, and then we'll have a banquet a month after that, and we'll have Team of the Year. We'll have Team of the Year, Best Video, Most Improved Tailgater, and Best Game of the Year, Best Show of the Year, and Best Dress of the Year, because those three categories. So we'll have awards for all that. And so I tell you what, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be something that I hope we can get together. What do you think, Jamie?
Well, you touched on several things like I mentioned KCBS, if tailgating, if you take it serious, like I know we do at Fingerlicking, it's kind of like the barbecue circuit, Fingerlicking's got it broke down. We got set up people, we got breakdown people, we got sauce people, you got the pit master, as in, that's me. We got it broke down. We got the DJ and we got a hype person. We got the guy, his name's Mike. He clucks like a chicken to the national anthem, man. He does the birthday. And, that's the good thing about what we're trying to do, is we're trying to set it up where it's going to be fair for everybody. And most importantly, we want everybody to have a good time, because that's what it's all about. It's about a good time, good camaraderie, and everybody just getting together. It don't matter what team you're from. We being Gamecock fans, we have Clemson fans, Auburn fans that tailgate with us, Florida fans. We've had LSU fans, Georgia fans. That's what it's about. Is we all got a common thing, two common things. We love football and we love tailgating. And, to get something out of it with the competition is just an extra bonus. If that don't get the juices flowing, I really don't know what to tell you. I'm excited about it, Daryl. I think it's going to really be good. you know, it's already picking up steam. I've been talking about it to a lot of people. I spoke with Inside Tailgate, and I'm going to have someone on with them. You know, they're up there in Charlotte is where they're based. With they got a place up there they call The Shed, and they got several big-name sponsors that we're also going to try to hook up with. And, you know, that's right there at Carolina Panthers. I mean, they're actually joined in right there behind the stadium there. And that's a location we definitely want to try and get involved with. I really think we're going in the right direction. We got some good people on board. We're going to have a meeting, and we're going to get this thing banged out, and we're going to have a good product there. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a good thing.
Now, the other part of this is it's a tool for your organizations to make money. You know, we love the competition, and we love everybody to get out there and show their spirit and get ready for the game. Now, you know, if we have it on a game day where it's organized well enough that we could actually have it before the game, just think about the level of camaraderie and esprit de corps and spirit that you guys could come. And if we could get the cheerleaders and athletic department involved, and everybody could come out and enjoy themselves, and we could have a big competition too, declare the winner before the game starts, and then let everybody just go and have a good time. But sponsors for the event, the only thing Barbecue Superstars National Tailgate League will charge is a fee to send you all the rules and send somebody out and teach you how to do it. We want the schools to get control of their own competitions and have their own communications department handle the mic, and their alumni association actually handle the event. And all we're going to do is marshal and be over the judges to make sure all the judging is done fairly. And then we're going to input the scores into the national ranking system, which will automatically place your score into the top 128 Division I, the Division II, Division III, and then also all the NFL teams, and you'll be ranked right with the NFL teams as to the way their scores came out. And it's based on those five categories I said earlier. But, you know, just like these barbecue competitions, tailgating is a grand place for Budweiser, Miller Lite, Coors Light, Smithfield, Tyson, all these people involved, disc cookers, tailgate cookers, anybody who handles tailgate merchandise. And I found out from Jack's Tailgating today that tailgating is the third largest industry in the United States. I had no idea. So
yeah,
if you want to talk about, you know, the amount of merchandise and logistics that it takes to back up tailgating, you know, when you talk about 10x10s and pickups and RVs with that piece on the back, Weber and all them different types of tailgating grills, smokers, every part that's connected with it. You know, and, you know, I just want to make sure, Jamie, that everybody out there knows, Inside Tailgaters, anybody who blogs or has something to do with tailgating, you're all invited. You know, that blogging that tailgaters are doing with the different shows and the different stuff, that's the only media that tailgating has. And we just want you to know that Barbecue Superstars wants this sanction. We will be doing television and radio out there, but we want to make Inside Tailgating and everybody who supports tailgating in blogging or whatever form of support you do, we want to include you. We want to put you out front. We want to make you sell more magazines than you ever sold in the history, and make you big, because the media filtration through, you know, the national system, you guys are it. Barbecue Superstars, Inside Tailgating, everybody who does anything with tailgating, you are welcome at these competitions, and we want you to come by and just make sure, you know, you have some way of proving that you're really with them, because we don't want people crashing the party and trying to be media that ain't media, just so they can get in the middle of everything. But we want some kind of proof that you are with them, maybe a contact prior to the event that you're going to, just so we don't have 10 people saying that they are with Inside Tailgating when there ain't one person coming. And what do you think about that, Jamie?
Yeah, I tell you, Daryl, it sounds like an excellent thing. And you've mentioned Jack's Tailgaters several times on here. I think we have them on hold here. I want to get him on here and speak with him about this. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How's it going?
It's going. How about yourself?
Oh, it's going pretty good. It's going pretty good. You've been poking at me all week about these Tigers.
Yeah.
I spoke with you about this this tailgating radio show, and it looks like it's liable to come down to these Tigers and Gamecocks come SEC time.
October 13th, 7 p.m. It's gonna be a game, buddy.
I tell you what, the way the experts are predicting it, it looks like it could possibly be us again playing. We liable to play twice this year.
Yeah. It does. It looks like that, but we can handle you both times. We're all right.
Well, I tell you, both teams are loaded, and it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's just the way it's supposed to be. The SEC is always supposed to be on top, in my opinion, and that's a good
that's
thing
right.
about it.
That's
tell
right.
me a little
that's
bit
right.
about a little bit about Jack's Tailgaters. For any of the new listeners that don't know who y'all are, y'all from out there in the big state of Louisiana. Give everybody a little rundown on y'all.
Well, basically, we're a sauce and seasoning company that loves to tailgate. We make everything from barbecue sauces to finishing sauces, hot sauces, to gumbo, jambalaya, and etouffee seasoning mixes, dip mixes, and rubs. We've got a pretty good extensive line of stuff, but we do it because we love to cook. We love to cook. We love to tailgate. We get out there and have some fun when we're doing it. We just enjoy doing what we're doing, and that's kind of where this company got from, is because we really like to get out and have a little fun time. It's not always about the big schools and stuff. We do a lot with the littler schools too, and just to have some fun. But we're definitely one of these up and coming sauce and seasoning companies. So we got 29 national awards, and we're just wanting to support our local community, and we also want to support others out there that are doing things that's in our interest. Our passions.
Right. How does someone get a hold of your product?
Well, they can go to our website at www.jackstailgaters.com. That's JACSTAILGATERS.com. Or they can email me at jacks@jackstailgaters.com. I put the link up there on the chat board on here already, too, so it's a little easier for people to get.
Well, good. I tell you, I haven't personally been able to try your products, but I've seen and heard a lot of excellent reviews about it, and I look forward to us finger licking. We've been in the talks of trying to get out there for the game. And tailgating right alongside with y'all and see if we can join forces and throw one heck of a tailgate party. You said y'all do some of the smaller schools. Do y'all go to away games, college games, high school games?
We do go away with our high school game, our high school team here, but our high school is a breeding ground for the SEC. So whenever we have a away game, 10,000 people still go. It's we're a powerhouse in 5A football. And,
right.
But we do a lot. We do go away and do stuff like that, too, with them. Any given Friday night, we're cooking. I mean, for a high school game, we're cooking for 300 or 400 people at a tailgate party, here. So, I mean, that's not bad. And there's tailgates going all over for it. Then we have a local college here that we get out and we do some chilies and chili cook-offs and stuff like that for them here at the university, local university that we have here.
you know, that's a good thing. People often overlook a lot of the smaller colleges and overlook a lot of the high schools, but, you know, what everybody fails to realize is that's a lot of where it starts at, you know, in your high school leagues and everything. That's one thing, you know, I'm from Newberry, and, you know, we're a small 2A school here. We used to be 3A, but, you know, we've put, just out of Newberry, we've put quite a few players into the NFL and college ranks. That's where it starts at, and to see people support their local schools, that's something everybody overlooks, and that you can't express enough just how important that is, especially in the tailgating and just showing your support, because, you know, a lot of schools don't have the funding, and when you can get somebody out there tailgating and showing support, and that gets that many more people into the game and showing the support for the team, that's something to be proud of.
Yeah, it really is. And, I mean, that's what it's a group of us businessmen. We all get together, and we just want to give back to our community and to our school. And, granted, we love us some Rebel football, you know. So, and I say that for West Monroe, not Ole Miss. but you know, yeah, we do. We really like to try to support our local teams here in town. You know, just like you said, it's all about our passion. We love football, and those kids love football. They go out there on Friday nights and Saturday nights and give it their all just to entertain us, you know. So I think we ought to give back to them, and that's kind of some of the stuff I was talking to Daryl today about, you know, doing this tailgating thing. We really need to look at including some of the smaller Division I schools and II schools. You know, we really need to look at some of those and offer them the same opportunities as we're offering with the other ones, you know.
Right. I know Newberry College is a smaller school here, and I happen to be really good friends with the head coach and the defensive coordinator there, and that's something I've been in talks with them about, because it's a small campus, and the bad part about it is I don't miss a Carolina game, especially a home game. And their schedule always seems to, where their home games always seem to run into Carolina's home games. So that's something we're trying hard to work on, where we can get out here and support Newberry College. I mean, we have supported South Carolina State College, which is down there in Orangeburg. We've done a couple games down there, but, you know, we want to reach out to not just that one. We want to reach out to several of the smaller colleges and let people see what tailgating and having a good time is about. Because one thing about it, you know, when you get out there and you get to tailgating, it sets up for a good game, win or lose. You know, you go into the game with a good attitude, and you know you're coming out to have a good time, win or lose, to pick back up tailgating. And that's why tailgating to me is so important. Good food, good friends, and a good time.
Yep, and that's where the momentum starts, is right there.
Right.
Well, we got two more callers, 843-537 and 843-304. Tell us who you are, folks.
843-304, is that Rev from Glory Roads?
Yeah, what's up, fellas?
This is Rev from Glory Roads.
You there, Jamie?
Yeah.
What's up?
Rev from Glory.
I was trying to crank that up for that Tiger fan. Make sure you heard that.
I was gonna do that for y'all. I was gonna play that Fighting Tiger song for you, but I was praying. You know, I'm just, you know, I gave that Yardbird comment. You know, we know how to grill them up when y'all come down here.
Most definitely.
Rev and Jack, let me get y'all to hold on just 1 second. I got a caller coming in from Charlotte. I got Steve from Inside Tailgating.
Hey, what's going on, guys? What's going on, guys?
How you
doing,
Steve? You doing
all
right?
Fine. Now, I want to say one thing before. I've always wanted to say this. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Appreciate what you guys are doing.
Hey, for those of you who don't know, this is Steve from Inside Tailgating. He I hooked up with him last year. We went up to Charlotte for Carolina's first home game up there at the Shed. They Carolina, for those that don't know, Carolina opened up against East Carolina last year up there at Panther Stadium, and they put on a good show up there, and I wanted him on to talk a little bit about inside tailgating and what they got going on with Megagate.
Yeah, I can go on and on and try to make it a little brief. You know, you can visit insidetailgating.com, and we blog about we basically tailgate for a living. We go out to, right now we're focused more on the southeast. We've got an RV that we'll take around game to game, and we'll go around and cover tailgate. You'll usually see me around taking pictures and kind of handing out the magazine and making sure that, we're covering all the good spots. Outside of that, we're also focused on the game part of tailgating, which is cornhole, ladder golf, washers. We're introducing a new game this year that's kind of mixes in between basketball and beer pong. You can check those guys out at basketpong.com. That's pretty neat. And also Bico Ball, which is also a, you throw a bag into a scoring area. And we're putting on a competition in Greensboro September 1st and 2nd that it'll be the second annual Megagate. Basically a tailgating game competition. We've got several sponsors on board. We've got Blacktop 360, which is a up-and-coming new tailgating grill, which is, it's really cool. It's a circular grill that around the outside ring, you can grill anything you want, hot dogs, chicken, wings, hamburgers, anything, steaks. And on the inside, you can fill a little bowl up that, with oil and fry stuff. So it's a really cool little grill that takes care of everything that you'll need out at the tailgate. It makes it really compact, really easy to use and set up, and you need to check those guys out at blacktop360.com. Also want to note that if you go there, I don't know who's in charge of their commercials, but those commercials that they have, they're hilarious. So take some time and check those guys out. You might end up liking them, buying a grill. Outside of that, Megagate, tailgating game competition, we're going to do it up. We think that there's some legs there, and we're going to give away up to $30,000 in cash. We've got prizes. We're going to have Jeremiah. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Jeremiah, Jeremiah. He is a Def Jam artist. He's gonna headline the event in terms of entertainment on that Saturday, and we're just gonna have a good old time. I could go on and on, but I don't want to waste too much of you guys' time.
No, you're doing great. One thing I wanted to talk with you. I know Rev's on here. I got him on hold, but one thing we want to reach out to Inside Tailgate, and we really want to get y'all involved with two things, if at all possible. Like we was talking about with the tailgate competition, we want to stay in close talks with y'all and see if we can. I was talking to you earlier today. See if y'all can help and we can work together to sanction this thing and get it going real good. Inside tailgating has been really good to finger licking tailgating. Taking the pictures and did a great article on us, and we want to get y'all on board, and when we get this thing going, well, we can get some articles on this competition and get all these teams some face time, and hopefully grow together.
I think it's definitely got some legs. When we started Inside Tailgating, we ended up just kind of evolving into, we also have, you know, American Tailgating League, which focuses more on the games.
Right.
So, and we kind of created Megagate around that because, you know, we'll go bars and festivals, and we'll do, you know, cornhole tournaments and things like that. And we kind of kept inside tailgating more news and covering people tailgating. But now, you know, it recently, and also when it comes to Megagate, you know, we want it to be tailgating game competitions, but we also are very interested in getting a actual tailgating competition going.
Right.
So we can cover everything there. And, you know, when it comes to Megagate for this year, it's it might be a little late for, you know, for us to set that up, but, you know, that's something that we definitely want to do, and we want to get on board with. We have some familiarity with that, and it's just flat out, you know, getting on board with someone else that's interested in getting that going to help us out a little bit with that part of our business.
Yeah, like I said, that's something, you know, we got started a little late with, and we're really going to get it going. We're going to get the guidelines laid out, and next year we're going to really get this thing pushing, and hopefully we can move forward together with it. I think we're going to take a big step with it on something. We're going to, down here at Carolina this year, Rev with Glory Roads, who he's a big-time Gamecock fan, he's kind of set something up where we're going to have what we're calling Dog Bash 2012. And we want to get inside tailgating down here with us, because it's going to be awesome. What we're going to do, we tailgate, we're finger-licking tailgates, which is on Bluff Road right there at Southern Equipment. We want to shut the whole parking lot down. We don't want no Georgia fans in there. We want to have all Gamecock fans. Our parking lot holds over 500 cars, and our goal is to pack that thing full of Gamecock fans and just have one tailgating party.
Well, we need to make some – oh, sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
We need to make some time to, you know, meet up in person and kind of write some things down on a piece of paper and, you know, see, you know, if it might make some sense. You know, we can definitely promote it and help the calls and be a part of it. And we can bring down some games and things like that. We can make it a tiny festival.
Yeah, that sounds good. We're gonna schedule a meeting with Daryl, me and Daryl, and Ultimate Tailgaters, which tailgates down the road from us, and several.
Yeah, they're right across from Jacob's, aren't they? Normally.
Yeah, that's where they're at. They're right on the other side of the stadium there. But
yeah,
we're gonna all have a meeting and get together. And what I'll do is when we get that meeting scheduled, I'll get with you and see if you can come down, or even if we have to do it by phone or something with you.
We can
get that thing going and give everybody a taste of what the tailgating competition is going to be next year. We just have a good party and let everybody see what tailgating is about at South Carolina.
Yeah, we'll put our heads together and, you know, never know where we go. Like, obviously, all of us that are listening and all of us that are calling in, you know, we always want to, you know, promote one thing, and that's tailgating. So I think
right.
Any efforts that are made to promote that and get some things going with that is good. We can hook up and talk about more of the logistics of everything. I don't want to bore too many people with our, you know, our conversation about it, and, you know, in terms of, like, meetings and stuff like that, but definitely let's get together and definitely everybody listening, if you think you're good at cornhole, you know, back up a step and, you know, check out playmegagate.com and, you know, see if there's a game there that you might be good at, and come on up September 1st and 2nd. I know it's Labor Day, but It's not too far from Columbia. It's not too far from really anywhere around Charlotte. It's an hour and a half from Charlotte. So it's an easy drive up and back. So come on up and have some fun and head home if you want to. Or stay up there. You know, we're going to have entertainment and music all weekend long. So just wanted I wanted to plug that one more time.
That sounds good. And I want to thank you for calling in, and I will be staying in touch with you, and we'll get on the ball with this with Inside Tailgate.
Yeah, just give me a shout. You got my number, you got my email, and again, appreciate you guys doing what you're doing.
All right, thank you, and you have a good weekend this weekend.
All right, brother. I'll see you guys.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, I'm going to try to get Rev back on here. I still got...
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, I got Jack Tailgating still on here.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, Rev, you want to touch on this real quick about the Dog Bash 2012?
You hit it right on the money with that no dogs allowed, like zero. A whole parking lot full of Gamecocks only. I like that. Right now we got about, I want to say close to about 200 that have RSVP'd in less than 72 hours since I dropped the ad on it. And I was talking to Trey the other night from Gamecock Born and Bred. I'm sure you know who that is. And
right.
Cluck Fimpson. Between Born and Bred, Cluck Fimpson, and Team Garcia and myself, you know, granted there are some mutual followers within those four pages, there's probably a good 20,000 Gamecock fans, at least.
So,
I figure if you can snag 10% of that, I mean, I haven't been to that. I've never been to one of you guys' events yet, so I don't know exactly how many people it can hold, but you said you wanted to. I like what that got touched on, but as far as it being a festival, it could very easily hit 1,000 or 2,000 people, especially
well,
with the amount of time that's left to promote it.
Yeah, well, the good thing about our parking lot is we have a front and back, so... and Finger Licking pretty much runs that front parking lot. I mean, we have people that they buy their season parking just to be up there with us. So I think it's going to be a good thing. I really do. And when I say keeping the Georgia fans out, it's not anything as far as.
Oh no, we'll let them in, especially after the game's over. When they're getting out there with that L on their forehead, definitely.
Well, you know, it's not a hostility type thing. We get along with anybody. Like I say, Finger Licking welcomes any fan
no doubt.
To come and tailgate with us. This is just a thing we're wanting to do and just to see if it can actually be done.
I think in the SEC, I mean, you touched on it earlier. I mean, I give Georgia fans a lot of flack because, you know, for some Carolina fans, it's Clemson. For me, it's Georgia. But SEC... You know, getting everybody together, even from both teams. I mean, it's all in good spirit and good fun. You know, as long as everybody stays on their best behavior and keeps it all about, you know, what's really going on, which is the game of football, and I think everything would be great. Let them dogs in a little bit.
That's right. Oh, Jack's Tailgaters, y'all got anything big going on at LSU this year? Y'all trying to set up anything like that, or?
I'm kind of hoping that we're going to drive something for that South Carolina game down there. That's the game I'm looking for. Yeah.
Hey, I can hook you up with a parking lot. You can park right there beside us, and we'll party together.
Well, I was thinking about a home and away competition. I mean, can't them boys come up, even though we're not playing, and let them do their thing, then we go down there?
That's very possible. I got it. A friend of mine that's listening in right now, I bet you he's like, shoot, yeah, I'll come down there and cook some jambalaya for you. You know, the thing about that is we put that yard bird in that too, you know.
He had to throw it in there, didn't he?
Oh, yeah,
man. That's all right. You're going to be looking at two undefeateds come that match up in Death Valley. I'll tell you what, it's going to be a big one.
That's gonna be a good game. Have any of you ever been down there to Death Valley?
Not myself, but I definitely got my dad's buddy got us reservations down there in New Orleans, so we're going to make a four-day outfit out of it. So.
Oh man, you won't make it to the game if you go into New Orleans for the first time.
I'm making sure I bring my defibrillator. That's all I was told. Bring your defibrillator. So hey.
That's it.
Well, you know, I got
a defibrillator.
I got family that stays out there that's invited me to come and stay with them for the week. So I told them I don't know if I can come and stay for the week. I might be partied out by the time the game comes. I think I need to just roll in there on a Thursday, so I'll be.
I don't even think you're safe on a Thursday. I think by Friday you could be in trouble, boy. Definitely. And all these guys want to hang out in New Orleans first. You see, these LSU folk know what they're doing. They get us to New Orleans and act a fool, and then we pass out by Friday. We ain't got no fans in the stadium to support our unit. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, we do. But we, you know, the thing is with us, though, once you get there, you'll see. It's just like you said, we welcome anybody in. You know, we like Tiger Bait no matter who it is. So we bring them all in. Not necessarily everybody leaves, though. That's the problem, you know. People, you know, they kind of fall in love with it. I found out the trick, though. You know, I know all how to tell a closet LSU fan. Because they always say, when I say go Tigers, they always say go SEC. That's just a way of them not saying, I'm a Tiger fan. I want to say it, but I just can't say it. You know, they don't ever come back and say, go Gamecocks, or go this, it's go SEC. Even when I was in South Carolina, I said that, and Big Rod said, go SEC. And I'm thinking, yeah, you're a Tiger fan. You know you are.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I said go SEC, but I am not a Tiger fan.
Of any sort.
It's kind of hard for me to say I'm a Tiger fan. I can say go SEC and root for LSU, but I don't think I can say go Tigers and mean it. Just because of Clemson.
Yeah, just because of Clemson. That's why you spell it G-E-A-U-S instead of G-O.
Well, I tell you, that's one thing about it, though. I give LSU, you know. Clemson sits there and talks about Death Valley, and I said, well, you know, there's only one Death Valley, and that's out there in LSU.
Yeah, and that's two totally, and to be fair, that's two totally different caliber football teams. LSU is a football team, and we're not going to get into Clemson bashing, but that ain't a football team. So
well, Clemson found
I'll give LSU their just respect.
Well, you know, Clemson found that out when they played West Virginia. They're still running up the score.
What was that again?
I just had to put that in. I'm going to lay off Clemson now because I welcome Clemson tailgaters to call into the show too, but they're going to have a hard time. But, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
you guys got a space down in there in LSU that these boys from finger licking can get a hold of?
We will definitely, and once y'all say it's going to happen, I will definitely get people getting us ready where we can pull in there on Friday evening, Friday night, just before the game, and we'll be set up and ready to go.
Who do you guys got the week that we got Georgia? Who y'all got on the 6th?
I think it's a nobody. I think we have a nobody that weekend because our first three games are kind of not much.
Kind of Georgia-ish. Oops, my bad.
Well, the head ball coach said it pretty good in SEC media this week when he said, you know, they asked him about the schedule, and he said, well, he said, obviously I ain't got nothing to do with the schedule because if I made the schedule, we'd be playing Ole Miss and Georgia be playing LSU.
You daggum right.
But, you know, that's just the way it is. You know, Georgia's got what I call a Clemson schedule this year. They really –
They had the same last year, too. Same last year. That's back-to-back with that.
Well, you know, that's just the way it goes. I think the toughest team on their schedule is probably us. You know, because Florida's still down. Their defense is going to catch up – back to where it should be this year, but their offense, I just don't see how you can play 2 and 3 quarterbacks and expect.
You know, I'm going to point out something interesting real quick. We got a lot of 2013 commits that I've been talking to face-to-face, and they are under this they are completely in awe of this 2012 Gamecock team. I mean, they're saying that regardless of the schedule, that these kids just, they're focused and fired up, you know.
Well,
so,
I'm going to tell you, everybody
I think outside, I, what I'm saying is, without the schedule even in place, I don't think it would matter this year who is on our schedule. We're not even concerned about it. And it's kind of nice as a Gamecock fan, you know what I mean?
Well,
just not to really be worried about anything except that game down there in Death Valley.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Spurrier, everybody gave him a lot of flack about what was going on as far as why we weren't getting to where he was with Florida. But one thing Spurrier did, he's not a fool. He has definitely stacked that team. He's got quality depth at just about every position.
Every single skill position, brother.
And to compare to LSU, it's like LSU. I mean, you can lose 10, 12 players, and they're right there. And I really feel, you know, Carolina lost a lot of good players this past year. And,
yeah, and they
we really haven't lost. You know, when we lost, we picked up excellent ones. I mean, you know, everybody said, well, you lost Melvin Ingram. Well, you ought to see the defensive lineman is waiting. So, I mean, it feels good to be, even ESPN comparing us with LSU and Alabama and teams like, you know, that's always been there.
Kelsey's got a real good. Kelsey's got a good shot coming in playing like Ingram. Quarles is going to be ready to play ball. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Kelsey's going to be a beast. He's got a year up under his belt, and I'm going to tell you, him and Clowney and Devin Taylor is going to be something to deal with on that defensive line. It's going to be something serious. It really is, and it's good because you look at like. Going back to LSU, that's something I think LSU's always had, is an excellent defensive line. And
excellent defense all around.
Well, I mean, what I'm getting at, when you got a good defensive line, it opens up and makes your linebackers and your secondary look that much better because you don't have to bring that pressure. You can let your defensive line do it all.
Yeah.
And
the thing about LSU's defense, though, we've always been so much quicker and faster than everybody else.
That's right. That's right.
I mean,
up everybody. When you can have three or four linemen rushing the quarterback and getting in his face every down, and you freeing up the rest of the secondary and linebackers, I mean, all you need is speed.
Hey, but I'm going to tell you this. You know, in a division, I mean, I'm not sure how many Division I football teams there is off the top of my head. It's got to be 100 and something. When I look at the stat sheet at the end of the year, if South Carolina is right next to Alabama and LSU, not only is that beyond impressive, but I'm looking for that to change to where now LSU and Alabama are going to have to worry about hanging around us. And I'm not saying that to be cocky. I'm saying that because that's what I really feel. I mean, I think that the tides are going
to
turn just a little bit. It ain't going to be the Gamecocks chasing LSU and Alabama. I would expect this Carolina defense from game one to stay on top.
The only thing that's hurt South Carolina in the past, and y'all may crucify, Spurrier doesn't coach through. That's been his whole problem since he's left Florida to there. He's not coached y'all through. Y'all had some dynamite talent over there through the past several years. And, I mean, he hasn't coached that team through. And that's a problem with Les Miles. Les Miles hasn't coached LSU through, neither to their potential. Yeah, we've been there, but, you know,
he's
they
made
don't
some big
through.
Mistakes, too. He's made some really big mistakes, too.
You know,
I think in South Carolina with Lorenzo Ward, the players coach taking over that defense, if Spurrier can let Ward do what he wants to do and bear down and just knuckle up, you're not going to have to worry about playing through because them boys are already
playing
through.
You can ask any Nebraska fan. They found out just what Lorenzo Ward's going to bring. Because I'm going to tell you, that defense played with some fire and passion, and I haven't seen that defense have with that talent that they've had. Lorenzo Ward, like you said, he's a player's coach, and then that defense wants to play for them, for him.
That defense wants a national championship, and I think that's
and,
the most
and
important
it's the same
part
thing, like you go back to LSU, it's the same thing at LSU. You got a defensive coordinator there that defense,
yep.
they'll throw their bodies out there on the line for that coach.
You daggum right.
And, you know, y'all were talking about Georgia a while ago. You know I'm not a great big Georgia fan either, but if you look at the way Georgia, Rick coaches his teams through, he's actually done a really good job. Had an awesome defense last year, a lot better than most people gave them credit for. there's only a few coaches in the SEC that coaches their teams all the way through, and that's one of them for Georgia and Nick Saban. That's what I've seen. I hate to say that, but they coach them guys through, and the head coaches just let the other coaches do their job instead of trying to run it. That's Les Miles' problem. That's Spurrier's problem. You know, when you get down in the clutch, you need to let your coaches do their jobs and not you try to run it yourself. That's
one thing
problem with those two coaches all around.
Well, it's like you said about Mark Richt. You know, you can see that the coaching takes over after the first couple games, and them coaches really have put their heads together and got it going, because Georgia's always seemed to start out a little slow in the beginning. But I'm going to tell you, Georgia later on in the year is a team that it ain't very many teams want to play.
Right.
Unless you're Michigan State.
Well, you know, but that's one thing. I think they want a schedule set up for Georgia to play Carolina so late this year. I think Mark Richt kind of caught on to that. But it's going to be an interesting football season this year. It really,
you know what,
is the SEC.
In fairness to the whole ball coach, I think finally after all his years of dedication, now you guys got to remember, he is one of the, if not the most successful coaches in college football, in my opinion. And the work that he's done in South Carolina has been over a long period of time that a lot of people had wished had gone faster. And to get to the point real quick, he's got a stable of quarterbacks and always remember, he's a quarterbacks coach. So finally, you know, and I love me some Garcia, but finally looking at Shaw, looking at Mitch and Nosevich and the guys that are backing up, I think he really can hone into being that offensive brilliant mind and not looking anywhere else but right there. And you understand what I'm saying, Jamie? It's kind of like, instead of jumping all over the place and worrying about what defense I'm going to call here and what I'm going to do here, he's got every single weapon he needs in the backfield and the wide receiver positions. It don't matter. The offense looks
And not only that, he's got the coaches in place. He's got the coaches that he wants there now, too. He's got the players, the coaches, and he's got a stable of quarterbacks. And I'm going to tell you, that's going to be a job to see who's going to be able to hold on to it. I mean, Connor Mitch coming in, Tanner McAvoy, you know, they're pretty stacked at quarterback and running back. It's going to be interesting to see how that's going to unfold.
You know, I sent a message to I talked to Mike Rowland the other day. I said, if you were a linebacker and you lined up against Connor Shaw, Lattimore, Mike Davis, and Bruce on a wingback sweep, what would you do? I didn't get a response on that one. I guess that means I wouldn't know what to do. It's a nasty backfield, boy.
The sneaky team you see this year is going to be Arkansas. That's going to be the sneaky team, and they're going to spoil somebody's bowl hopes this year.
Exactly.
I really feel like it. I think they're another underestimated team, SEC. I think that new coach is coming in there. He's all fired up. He has got a lot of talent. And then also, I think Tennessee's going to draw some hopes this year too. I think
they got an excellent quarterback there in Tennessee, and two star stud wide receivers at Tennessee. But like you say,
and Derek Dooley has found his groove. I think, you know, Derek Dooley was the coach here at Louisiana Tech. He was a phenomenal coach, and he's another one of those sleeping giants in the big schools now. I think he's going to. Over the next several years, we're gonna come to notice him, you know. But altogether, I just don't think it's gonna be hard to handle. It's gonna be hard to handle those Tigers again, especially now that we're gonna have a one quarterback system where we're not having to worry about who's what, where, and when, you know. And
definitely.
It's gonna be hard.
What are you gonna do about that Tide? I gotta ask you what you're gonna do about that Tide, because you know you got them on the schedule.
You know. They're not going to be easy. They're never easy. But I think now that we have a stable quarterback there, Mettenberger's smart. He's another Matt Flynn with a little stronger arm. Matt Flynn was a great quarterback. It doesn't take an excellent athlete. It takes a smart athlete. And that's something we haven't had in a while, you know, to be a quarterback, to lead a team like a LSU or a South Carolina. You know, that has the talent. You've got to be able to switch gears and get it to your moneymakers, you know?
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, that's something I've always been against, playing two and, like I said, Florida, three quarterbacks. You get a lot of stability in knowing who your quarterback is and knowing that you can trust
right.
in that quarterback. And that's one thing. Connor Shaw's not going to have to look over his shoulder this year. LSU, they don't have to worry about it. You talk about Arkansas, they got a solid quarterback there, Tennessee. And that's a system, when you got one quarterback, it makes your players know who they're playing for, it seems like.
Yeah.
And you know what? In 2010, that's exactly what Florida did. I mean, we went down there in the swamp, and, you know, naturally we had Lattimore, who is the greatest running back in all of college football. Just want to put that out there. And Florida tried that whole 2-3 quarterback system throughout the entire game, and they never found a rhythm, never found anything that synced up, and Carolina romped all over them. And it's a good point you just made, Jamie. Daggum good point.
If you look at the first 8 games for LSU last year, we destroyed our talent. You know, we destroyed them. And
right.
Then he went back to that 2-quarterback system.
Yep.
Then he went back to – then he decided, Jefferson's my man. I mean, Jefferson couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. He was as dumb as a box of rocks. But, you know
at least you're a realist.
Yeah, I mean, he was. You know, and what really ticks me off is that Les Miles didn't see that. His players, I mean, I'm good friends with several of the people's parents that are kids down there. You know, they went to him and said, look, Jefferson's not getting it done. That was proven for Arkansas. That was proven against Georgia. I mean, yeah, we won those games by a large margin, but it was defense. We
yep.
didn't get past the 50 on either one of those games until after the second quarter. You know,
yep.
in both those games, Jefferson started. But Mettenberger's going to be completely different. But what really makes me feel good is that I ran across a lady that's part of the Alabama alumni the other day, and they had a big banquet afterwards and stuff, and Nick even got up and gave a speech. He said, this is the first time I'm not happy with this national championship. He says, we
wow.
didn't win that game. They gave us that game. Something happened. That's not the team that's been playing all year long. He said, something happened. We did not win that game. You know, so that comes from somebody. Nick Saban, we can all argue, he's probably the best college football coach out there today. I mean, we can all argue, but he's always taken a no-class program and brought it to where they need to be. You know, and that's you know, within a short amount of time. I hate to say it, he left us, so be it, but he's still a great football coach.
You know, I would have to put Miles, Saban, Spurrier, and a little dose of Rick. But, I mean, those four coaches right there can be in any argument when it comes to SEC football and coaching, no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, there's no doubt. When you talk SEC football, that is definitely the four coaches that come to mind. As far as the SEC goes, you know, you can't mention the SEC without mentioning them guys. And that's all four: Mark Richt, Steve Spurrier, Les Miles. I mean, Nick Saban, you can't take nothing away from any one of them guys. They've all done an excellent job, no matter where they've been or what they've done. They've just won. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They've figured it out, and they've won.
Hey, you know what I figured out is that – Alabama and LSU have won enough. It's the Garnet and Black time. I mean, it's time. That's it. I mean, you guys have got to sit back and enjoy it for a while. We've had 100-some-odd years. It's our time. I mean, that's really all there is to it. And hopefully the rest of the SEC tips the hat and supports us. I would appreciate that.
Well, you know, the thing about those two teams is they were – and the thing about it is they have more things to offer than other colleges do. They party.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's the thing. Those are two, if you look at it, if you really got down and did some research, those are the two of the wealthiest colleges in the country. They outrank
yes.
some of the Harvard and the Ivy League schools as far as money goes.
You're talking
you know?
About Alabama and LSU?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
I mean, they do.
I mean money, yeah. is, money is the biggest factor because that dwindles down into your faculty and your staff, your facilities, everything – from top to bottom. I mean, at the end of the day, it boils down to one thing, and that's recruiting. And people don't pay enough attention to it, you know. And I'm already looking at the 2013 recruits, and people are telling me, Zach, you ain't even looked at the 2012 season yet. I said, yeah, I am. But I'm trying to look at what we got, you know, the next, you know, 2-3 years beyond that, because that's what's going to keep your team going in the right direction.
Yeah. That's one thing I like to follow. I really love following recruiting and seeing how kids progress. And one thing I've learned, you can look at stars on these, you know, on these places where they give them 4 and 5 stars. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of teams that have 2 and 3 star kids that step up and play better than 5 stars. And you see these 5-star kids that end up falling off the face of the earth. I mean, you can ask Georgia about that with a running back right now. You know, because what happens is you get kids who want to play and kids who have a passion for it, and they have something to prove, whereas you get them about 4 and 5-star recruits in there, and it just seems like, well, you know, we done proved we're something, and then they just,
you know,
kind of fall by the way.
A prime example of that is with us is I want to say DJ was a 3-star recruit out of Greenwood,
yeah.
And I'd be hard-pressed to say, not only barring injury, God forbid, that kid goes top 10, top 15, and I guarantee you, like you just said, he's going to be a 5-star when it's all said and done.
And then you
prime said, example of a 2-3-star to a 5.
That's the same with Mingo. Mingo for LSU, I mean, he's fantastic defensive lineman. You know, he played football for his first time as a senior in high school. He didn't know how to catch a ball. All he wanted to do was catch the ball when he first started. He was defense, but he was fast. And the only reason he played is because he wanted his best friend to play basketball with him. The only way I play basketball with you is if you come play football with us.
Oh, I'll be.
And so he did that. He went and played. He got picked up by LSU on a scholarship, but he was only a 2-star recruit. And now look at him, man. They've got him picked to do really well this year. The thing about the recruiting in Alabama and LSU, too, if you really look at it, they're recruiting in the lower southern states. There's some ball players in these lower southern states, guys. There's some there's some great ball players around here. It's been proven, you know. ESPN did a story 4 years ago about the high school talent that comes out of the Louisiana and the Mississippi and Alabama area, and they said those are some of the strongest football players that ever come out of any high school in the country.
You know, I'm going to give you that, and I'm going to give you that in the great state of Texas, because I tell you what,
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of Gamecocks. There's a lot of Carolina fans that aren't too happy about this A&M and us doing this and that, and I tell you what, if Spurrier can get into the heart of Texas and get some recruiting out of here, these Texas boys can play football like a son of
a gun.
That's
right.
I'm telling you.
Buddy, you're exactly right. And I think the Missouri and the A&M thing was a great addition, because we got to face it. We got a couple of weak schools in there. We got Vanderbilt and we got Kentucky. They're, you know, they have a 50-50 season, you know, 500 season, but they're the teams that's not challenging us. Now Ole Miss is falling into that category too. You know, they're falling into where they're not really challenging anymore. We had to have something else in there to keep the SEC, because slowly but surely, some of these schools were dying off, you know. So we needed something to bring that level of competition to keep us where a one-loss team can be in that national championship, you know.
Absolutely. The only one I'm not sleeping on is good old Vandy. I think Franklin down there has got some things brewing. He's a great coach, and he's going to have them boys fired up on that Thursday night against Carolina. But if I'm going based on just – I just want to get in there and smack them real fast and get it over with and get out of there. Because there's a lot of hype on this game. It's a big, big opening game for these Gamecocks.
Yeah, you know, finger licking's going to Vanderbilt. And the thing about it, you know, going back to a little bit of the tailgating, we've been trying to find where we could tailgate in the parking situation. I'm going to tell you, Vanderbilt's just not set up for that.
No.
There's just nothing there. and, you know, I guess it kind of reflects on, you look at the games on TV, there's only been a few games where the stadium's actually had a good amount of fans in there. And I think that goes back to there not being a game day atmosphere around there. The tailgating, you know, isn't what it is at some of these other schools. And, you know, I guess to me, without tailgating, it doesn't get the fans pumped up quite as much. You know,
that's an absolute fact. You've got to have tailgating, and it's got to be good.
Yeah, I that's what I say. You know, you take LSU, Alabama, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida. They take that tailgating serious, and
yep.
I think it reflects on the teams. I mean, because the fans come in there and they're pumped up, they done been out there, got their belly full, and had their choice
yep.
of beverage, and they come in there and they scream and holler. I tell you, I don't leave a game without a headache. I holler so much I can't talk, and I got a migraine just pounding.
Like I said, I got my defibrillator in my wheelchair, not only for Louisiana, but for every game when I leave. I mean,
yeah,
I'm telling you like it is.
Yeah, so, but, Jack, is there anything else you want me to get in about your site or any upcoming events y'all got going on, any in the near future before season or during season?
I do have some stuff. I'll release it a little later on. I'm not quite ready to kind of let some things out of the bag. But just everybody watch. Keep an eye on us out on Facebook. You can get our fan page is Jack's Tailgaters Online. Be watching for that. And also be, you know, check out our website. And anything I can do to help support y'all guys, just let me know too. I mean, that's what I'm here for. We're all family. I'm not just a person selling sauce and stuff. I really have a passion for football and tailgating, so I'm there to help anybody I can.
Well, I thank you for that, and like I say, I'd love to have you on. You know, our show's going to be every Thursday night, and anytime you want to call in, hit me up on Facebook. We can exchange numbers or something when you get ready to promote your new products or tailgating or any kind of event with your high school or charity events or anything. Please let us help you with the barbecue superstars. Let's promote it and see how big we can make it out there in LSU and anywhere else.
Jamie, what'd you guys say about the revenue for tailgating being number what in the country? I caught that earlier.
It's a number three industry as far as in the country right now, as far as
what?
I'm non-corporate environment. That's the number three industry.
Okay.
Number three
wow.
industry in the country. I mean, that's huge, man. There's it's a $30 trillion business.
Jeez,
you know, on a year that goes out. And if you think about it, you know, Daryl said it. You guys, I mean. You spend a lot of money finger licking. I watched that video where the guy clucking the national anthem. Dude,
Mike,
I mean,
yeah.
I've got $1,000 worth of food on the grill, you know, just at one moment there. I mean, it's
you know, that
helps
a lot. The money side of it, you know, finger licking probably averages between $1,000 and $1,200 a game, and
profit.
That's out spending out. That's not
okay.
money coming in. That's just that's just eight guys putting money together to have a good time.
That's your cost
of
goods.
And all we do is set up a tip jar and hope to get a quarter of it back. I mean, you know, we put a tip jar out there, and if somebody puts something in there, that's great. If they don't, well, stay and have a good time anyway. You know, that's we just like to put a good product out there, have some good food, have good music. Have people dancing and, you know, of course, having their choice of drinks. And, you know, we don't like to put a price on fun.
But you know what, Jamie, I'm going to tell you this. You guys put in the grind. You put in the work. And if it becomes one of those things to where, you know, every family's got to eat. And if that's the case, you know, you got to make some money doing it. I mean, the way you do it with the fans and you love Carolina, that's all beautiful. But at the end of the day, it's all right to put a little money in your pocket. You work for it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's something we kind of, you know, there for years, we did not put anything out there or ask for anything. And, you know, we started Skip Jar last year, and it actually did pretty good for us. You know, of course, we had some people who come over there and pile their plate up and drink from
the
bar.
At your boy.
And, you know, but, you know, at the end of the day, we want everybody to have a good time. It ain't a time to fuss and argue. It's a time to enjoy yourself, enjoy tailgating, enjoy football, and go home with a smile on your face.
That's exactly right. But, man, I tell you, I get a chance, I do want to come down there to y'all and see y'all. I just want to be a part of what I saw you doing there, Jamie. I mean, that was phenomenal, dude, as far as what I saw there. That was great. Your whole crew looked like they were just having a blast, you know. And if we can get together on the LSU thing, we'll just start early so we can make sure we get all the people lined up and stuff like that. We need to make sure we got our spot down there. Heck, even if you don't go into the game, you're still going to have a good time. You know, we'll make sure we have the TVs going and everything like that. If people just don't come to go into the game, you know,
we'll have
a great time.
I think for those of us that have never been down there, we got to definitely get in that stadium. I mean, that's something that I couldn't imagine traveling there and just looking at the stadium. I got to get inside.
We have
quite a few fans that never see the stadium on the inside. But, you know, we always had the TVs going out there, and some people, they just can't get enough of the party.
But if you're there, you've got to get inside that stadium. You got to.
Oh, yeah, that's where it's at. I mean, like I say, the tailgating gets you pumped up and gets you ready to go. But when you step inside that stadium getting with all them fans, that's just a totally another beast of itself.
I know, and it's going to be a night game, too, is what I understand. Y'all all gone, buddy.
Man, I can't wait.
You're still alive, buddy. The best chance of people beating us is during the day. Okay.
Nothing like a night game in the SEC, fellas.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate y'all letting me come on here, Jamie. And man, if there's ever anything that I can do for y'all, please let me know, you know, as well.
All right. Well,
I really thank you for giving me the opportunity.
And like I say, anytime you want to call in on Thursday night, please be my guest.
I sure will, and I'll get my buddy a call in one time together, and we'll get you going up about just before that game. Maybe we'll start some trash talking back and forth a little bit.
That sounds good. You take care. All right.
All right. Thank you.
All right. I got a caller 865-617.
Hey man, it's Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Hell yeah, man. What y'all doing? Y'all tailgating tonight?
Oh, we're talking a little tailgating. You got a tailgate going on?
Yeah, I tell you something. I love y'all. I listened to y'all guys for a long time. I'm out here back on the deck right now. Tending to the dogs. Just wanted to call in. I heard y'all on the internet. I got dial-up, so I'm glad I got y'all on the phone. So I don't know, man. Y'all tailgating tonight or what?
Rev, you there?
I'm with you, brother.
Go ahead. I don't think we're tailgating tonight.
Tonight we're just doing a whole lot of promoting, getting things set up for this upcoming football season.
Oh, okay. All right. I hear you.
Sounds like we need to be down there with you on the dock, huh?
Yeah, man. No, the deck. Not the dog. I ain't got that much money. But I tell you something, man. It's good. Wife's out there. She's made a girls' night watching Magic Mike at the movies. Thank God. She went out there. Man, she went out for dinner. I was like, thank God you went out for dinner. Thank God Magic Mike out right now, because I'm getting ready for football season. I am totally getting ready for football season.
Anybody who ain't pumped for football season right now, I'll tell you what, let's see if this will help.
Ha ha.
That get the juices flowing a little bit there.
Hey, man, I'm flying the flag in my living room right now.
I'm here in Knoxville right now. I'm here in Knoxville right now.
I know that's your favorite song over there in Tennessee, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we got some spirit, you know what I'm saying? That's awesome. That's awesome.
Let them know, Jamie.
I tell you,
hey, man, I'm going to get up out of here, Jamie. I appreciate you having me on, brother. And I'll definitely be in touch with you. I'll send you an email after this weekend, after I talk to a couple of the key figures at USC that have been helping me out with this whole thing. And I really, really, really look forward to this because this will be my return back to Columbia since 2007. So it's a lot of personal stuff in it.
Anybody who's just joining in, this is Dog Bash 2012. We're going to try to shut down Bluff Road with Gamecock fans. We're going to try to have a good time. Finger licking's going really... They're going to set it off. Anybody who wants to join in, hit us up on Facebook. Any suggestions, any questions? If not, you can hit Rev up on Glory Roads on Facebook. And
you can check us out on Twitter at GR Gamecocks, big buddy.
Sounds good.
Man,
all right, Rev.
All right, man. Take care. Go Cocks.
Take care. I saw the picture, y'all, on Facebook. That's awesome. You guys do a good thing. Finger licking. Yeah, we try to have a good time. We try to promote a good time and try to have a lot of people there. You know, our normal crowd's usually around anywhere between 150 and 200 people of people partying and having a good time. We had Clemson came and this past year and they brought their tailgating people.
I think that's what I saw, like y'all around Clemson.
Yeah, They put up a good show, but they weren't quite on finger licking's level with the tailgating. I will give it to them. They did have an ambulance down there with a tiger on top, but I think they ended up hauling off some football players and that thing at the end of it.
Hell yeah, man. That's awesome, y'all. Y'all do a good thing, man. Like I said, I just want to say thanks for having me on. Y'all do a good thing. Just wanted to call in. Appreciate you having me on. Drink some beer, hang out, light some fireworks, man, right?
Yeah, that's right. Thank you for calling, and you're welcome to call in anytime.
All right, brother. We'll see you guys.
All right, take care.
All right, go Vols.
Dale, are you there?
Yeah, man. Great show, man. Wow. Finger looking tailgating, inside tailgating, Jack's tailgaters. My God.
Yeah, but not too bad for a first-time show, I don't think.
No, it was awesome, man. I just looked up Glory Road. I didn't know about that, and he's got 7,225 friends.
Yeah, I've been talking back and forth with Rev there for a while now, and if you didn't know, he does live out in Texas. And this is his first trip back home in quite a while, and he's just wanting to have a bunch of Gamecock fans around and have a big tailgate party. So Finger Lickin's going to do their best to make sure that happens for him.
Man, yeah. That's awesome, man. I can imagine that. You know, I think everybody wants to be at Finger Lickin tailgate, whether you even know it or not. But if it's actually publicized, I don't believe Bluff Road's got a chance. They can't hold the people's going to be down in there.
Well, that's what I like to hear. That's what I like to see. That's like a dream come true for Finger Lickin'. I tell you, if I'd like to see the parking lot shut down 3 hours before kickoff because it can't hold no more people. That'd make everything for Finger Lickin'. We look forward to a good year this year. Football wise, tailgating wise, we look forward to meeting a lot of people, and this hopefully this radio show is going to reach out to a lot of people, and people that don't, you know, don't kind of new to the tailgating thing, you know, we want to get them over there with us, and maybe they can start setting up and tailgating right there beside us. Hey, they might be able to show us up and make something bigger and better than we can. I'm welcome to it.
Now, that's what the Barbecue Superstar National Tailgating League is all about, is, folks, you can't get better unless you compete with the best. You refine each other. You lift each other up. We're going to make this thing into a mega industry. And, you know, Jamie, there's one thing I want most of the people out there to realize is there's 80,000 inside the stadium, but now there's 50,000 outside that can't get in. And if we get this tailgating thing anywhere near where we're going, we can get 100,000 outside and 80,000 inside. But you know what? The people who can't afford to buy them $200,000, $500,000 tickets can come outside, big screen television. You get the whole flavor, the savor of the football game, but you get to party down with all the friends up and down the block and have a good time while it's all going on. And we want to invite all schools, every college, division, 1, 2, 3, NFL teams. Folks, we're going to plasticize, and we're going to megaize this tailgating thing. And my main Jamie Mott right here is going to be your voice and your radio show for all things tailgating from here on nationally, worldwide. But, man, Jamie has got tailgating in his veins, and I've been down there and seen it. And, Jamie, you're in it to win it.
That's for sure. That's for sure. I'm looking forward to this year, you know, inside tailgating coming on with us and barbecue superstars. And, you know, we got a couple of surprises that I hadn't quite let out the bag yet. You know, last year we had several people come down and film us. We got in a couple magazines. We won with Watch Fox, a thing for tailgaters, ultimate tailgater for a particular game. I don't remember which game it was. But we got quite a few surprises that we're going to try to have this year to raise the bar on up, and we're going to get this thing going. And we want to, like I said, we really want to get some big time tailgating going on. We want to get this sanctioned. We want to get some teams going and have some competition with it and let everybody grow from that.
Yeah. Now the thing about sanctioning is, there's defined rules. Everybody knows what they're up against. And see, when you're all together and there's defined rules and you know what you're up against, just like football. Now, if we were just starting off Division I college football or the NFL, we'd have to try to figure out what the rules are. And can you remember all the years we went and there was no fantastic plays and wasn't no big deal and the equipment wasn't refined? But since there are rules and it's sanctioned and it's a defined event, look what the NFL has become. Look at what college football players are doing now. Now, I did go, and I did go to a practice, and I was on the field with the practice for the Gamecocks. I was out there with Lattimore and all them guys. Lattimore was just running around with an NFL player that had been retired, because his knee was being he was already, like, better. He was running, but he was still healing, and the NFL player was working with him. I tell you what, there were some monsters out there. There were some guys out there that haven't played yet that just came on with the team. There was one dude I stood beside him, 6'8", about 330 pounds, and I didn't see much fat on that kid. He wasn't no kid. That was a man. And South Carolina is deep at every position, and most of them are scary. I would not get in a fight with half of them. But anyway, all of them. But anyway, we want to bring tailgating around to that level. So you know what, folks? Yeah, you can't afford that $500,000, $2,000 ticket, but you can afford to come on down to Finger Lickin' Tailgate down on Bluff and put your part in. Hey, give them $20. It ain't going to hurt you. Especially if you bring your whole family, give them $30. But you can get out there and you can get in the spirit of the game. There's a stadium right there. I mean, if you can get to the right place, you can see them coming off the bus. You can see the cheerleaders when they unload off the bus. You get a little view of Steve Spurrier. I shot it twice. And then come back and party down, eat big, and have a good time. And I'll tell you, Barbecue Superstars National Tailgating League, we have been doing barbecue competition now for 2 years. We've shot them. I've judged. I've been in the middle of what goes on. So we got a food angle, an entertainment angle, and a game angle. And everybody gets judged. You have a fair chance for whatever you're good at. But as this thing grows, just think. Now, Jamie, what would you do if there was – there could easily be 3,000 competitive teams. You were team of the year on National Tailgating League, and then you won the world championship. What would you do, Jamie?
I'll tell you what, that'd be an honor for anybody to have. You know, that recognition and just being called a National Tailgating Team of the Year, World Tailgating Team of the Year, I tell you what, if that don't get you ready for some tailgating, I don't know what else would.
That's it. Now, we want to raise prize money. We want every contest to have – ultimately what we want is for the first prize money to be $3,000. I mean, we want, you know, whoever wins the grand tailgater for that week, we want you to win $3,000 check, and then second place maybe $1,000, third place $500. And then the world championship, we won $25,000 grand prize. So if you go in and you win,
I think we lost Daryl. Daryl, you there? All right. Well, we got a couple of minutes.
One thing about it, though, I
give the LSU, Webster fifth in talks about Death Valley, and I said, okay, we lost Daryl, but like we were saying, we really want to get this tailgating event sanctioned and get this thing going. Anybody out there, anywhere in the country who's interested in becoming part of this and getting this going with the Barbecue Superstars National Tailgating League, get in contact with Barbecue Superstars, Daryl Mast, or get in contact with me, Jamie Montz on Facebook, or Finger Lickin' Tailgating on Facebook. Get in contact with us, and we would love to get this thing going. We got plenty of time, like we've been saying, we want to get all the rules and get everything ready and get it jumping off real big next year. And go from there. Daryl, you back?
Yeah, I'm back, man. I don't know what happened. But anyway, folks, they're doing this at barbecue championships now. Sam's KCBS put $480,000 into the one competition thing. It's only 25 contests. But KCBS has got $12 million worth of prize money available to teams who compete. And we could double that. We could triple that, because we've got a lot more venues, a lot more places to have contests. If you look around these three divisions of college schools and the NFL, I could see where $100 million in prize money today is where it could be at. And, Jamie, can you only imagine what tailgating will be when we get to that point where, you know, the Barbecue Superstars National Tailgating League grand prize of the World Championship is $250,000. I mean, we're going to have some of the best facilities, the best cookers, the best, I mean, and it'll be a double event. You go into the game, it's a huge event, but then you go into the tailgate thing, it's just as big an event outside as it is inside. And that's where we're headed with this thing. And, you know, it costs $50 for an individual person to be a member. If you got a tailgating team, it's $100 to join. You'll get a membership card. If you're a school, Division One, Division Two, Division Three, $1,000 for a big university to join. And then to get your event sanctioned, it's another, it's a fee. It's going to be so much for the Division One, so much for Division Two, so much Division Three. But when you pay that money, we're going to have a huge competition structure. and your scores will go in for the event, and those scores will go directly into the national championship rankings that'll always be out. And so we're going to provide that for everybody, and we just want to, you know, let everybody know that it's coming, and you'll be able to instantly see who's ranked where you're at, what you need to improve in. That's not going to be a question. And, shoot, let's take it all the way to the top. And, Jamie, wonderful show, buddy. Man, great job. Now, you excited about next week?
I'm sorry, my phone broke up.
Are you excited about next week?
I'm ready for next week. I didn't have people hit me up on Facebook ready to get on next week. I'm already got some guests lining up for next week. Next week's going to be another big show. And we're going to talk tailgating, talk football. We're going to talk Barbecue Superstars National Tailgating League. And we're going to get this thing going real big, Daryl. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too, man. Shoot, I'm glad to have you aboard, Jamie. You big time, dude. Big time.
All right. Thank you, sir. But for anybody who didn't get his finger-licking tailgating Barbecue Superstars, tune in next week, Thursday at 7:30. We'd love to have you on. We'll try to get all your calls. I know it's a few we didn't get to this week, and we would love to have you again next week. And with that being said, go Gamecocks. We'll be right back.